What's up? How you doing?
What's it like just to get to like hang out over there and just play a guitar all morning?
How's that? I like playing the guitar.
You like playing the guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a guitar major in college, in case you didn't know. He's not too bad at it. I really ought to have you come out for this later on thing and let you do what I'm doing, but whatever. You might come out and save me. It's okay if you show up. It's at the end. You can see we've gotten to talk a whole lot, you know. Several of the guys have actually been in Iowa this week doing a camp. Yay for Iowa. Wow. Man. I don't know that they feel the same about Iowa, to be honest with you either. they're okay with it, but I don't know that they're there on the whole like yay part of it. So they had a trip. I told them that the two things in Iowa that they should go see, of course, Field of Dreams, obviously Field of Dreams. Yay for Field of Dreams, no doubt. Yay for Shoeless Joe Jackson while we're at it. We'll just go all the way this morning. And then the Antique Archaeology Store, which is in Iowa, the original one. There's a new one in Nashville, by the way, in case you didn't know. I've been there twice this week. If you don't know what Antique Archaeology is, American Pickers. If you don't know what American Pickers is, you don't have cable. I don't have cable either, but you can watch them on the internet. Just letting you know. I'm all over the place this morning. It is so good to see you this morning. We're thankful that Adam can lead this morning, and happy to give him an opportunity to do that. Adam and his wife Mandy are an active part of the church plant that we have planted in East Nashville, and he is on the worship team there, Basilea. And I bring that up just to say that tonight, that they are having their first preview service tonight. They've put a lot of work into just getting ready for tonight. And many of you remember what that was like back in the day. If you were around the beginning of 24, you kind of have a clue of, you know, some of those things and what that was like back then. But I think that they're all very excited about that. And so you might go out and support them tonight. If you need information on how to get to there or times, any of that kind of stuff, you can go to our website and there's a Basilea link. I'm not going to try to spell it for you. I'm just going to tell you to go to our site, go to the link, and that will get you to their page, and it'll have all the information on it. So I know that they'd be glad for you to come hang out with them tonight. This morning, we're talking about the truth. I think you probably go, well, of course we are. I hope we are, because if we're not, we're in trouble, right? But this morning we're talking about the truth, and I've personally been involved in several situations over the last couple of weeks, even this week alone. This week alone, I've been involved in several situations in counseling other people where it has come up. You know, when somebody has asked me, I've answered this question like several times recently. And I answer it the same way every time. It's so funny, and people say, you know, what do you think I need to do in this situation? And it usually has something to do with, you know, somebody knows something that somebody else doesn't know about, and I'm talking about, like, I've been in situations recently as everything from adultery to just smaller issues or whatever, I guess you could say, if I'm not trying to classify sin as being smaller or bigger, but you know what I mean. And in the grand scheme of all of those conversations, it's constantly comes up. You know, they kind of come to me and say, well, what do you think I need to do? And in every one of those situations, I've said, how about telling the truth? You know, and that sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so simple that's what you want. We want the truth, right? I mean, when we're thinking about, you know, relationships that we have with other people, you know, those relationships are largely built upon that we assume that they are telling us the truth. You know, if in our relationships we are constantly living out, you know, these lies, I mean, our relationships are probably pretty pitiful. You know, they're probably pretty pitiful. In fact, I knew a guy once that, I mean, I guess he had kind of like this whole like double life thing going on. And I don't really know that that's really all that hard to find. I just don't think that we know. You know, a lot of times the double life, the double thing that, you know, a lot of people lead. And with this guy, I'm talking about like he had this whole kind of like illegal operation going on. At the time, and we were clueless, and we were friends with this guy. We were hanging out with the guy all the time, and when finally he kind of disappeared for a while, all this stuff started coming up, all this stuff started coming out, and all these legal things, the police, and I mean, it's just crazy. And I think for so many of us, I think that we don't put much stock in the truth anymore. And to be real honest with you, you know, I think it's important for us to classify this morning a couple of different truths. I think we have truth that, you know, we have the truth of, you know, things that's going on in our lives, and, you know, we can tell the truth or we can lie, and obviously we're supposed to tell the truth. But then there is also the truth of the gospel. And really, when I say truth this morning, I'm going to be talking about the truth of the gospel. But I want you to understand something. I want you to get this morning that the truth of the gospel permeates and affects the other truths in our lives. It should. And if it's not, then we need to pay attention. We need to kind of check ourselves and say, you know, what's going on here? And this morning, we're in the book of John, the Gospel of John. One of the first four Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if you don't have a Bible with you, throw your hand up. We've got some ushers that will bring you a Bible. And if you don't own a Bible, you can keep that Bible. We would like to give it to you. But if you just need it for the morning, you can leave it there in the seat, or you can return it back to the bookcase when you're leaving. But we're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8 this morning. And in John chapter 8, this is a fascinating chapter of Scripture. And to be honest with you, I think honestly, just after reading through it this week, I'm led to just teach through the whole book or through the whole chapter of John. And I'm probably going to do that over the next several weeks. But it's probably not going to be in order, because we're starting in the middle of it today, and this is what I felt led to do today. So this is what we're doing. So we may kind of finish up the book starting from where we are over the next couple of weeks, and then we may go to the beginning of the chapter, and we may go to the beginning of the chapter and start back from there. So we'll do it a little backwards. It's kind of like the time I taught the book of Philippians backwards. I think the first three chapters of Philippians I taught them backwards once, and that was crazy. Honestly, that was really crazy. You probably don't remember that. I don't know. The whole Philippians thing for so many people was like, whoa. It was like a sandstorm that came through. Man, I need some meds or something this morning, don't I? I am all over the place. Just wait till the end here, okay? John chapter 8, verse 31 is where we are today. And this is what it says. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" This is almost like some Jack Nicholson stuff right here, right? You know? "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Verse 33, "They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." This passage of scripture brings about some important things for us to understand about truth. Now, it's, as I said just a minute ago, the truth is the truth that we're focused on today. The truth that Jesus is talking about here today is not just the opposite of your lie. The truth that we're talking about here today is a bigger deal, okay? This truth is the truth. Now, you take this in the context. I mean, you see what Jesus is talking about here, you know, and he says, you know, "If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples, and you will know the truth." If you go back to John 1, and I'm not turning there or anything or reading from it today, but if you go back there, you'll see Jesus explain how the word was with God and the word was God. And this understanding that the word, that the truth is Jesus, I think is an important piece for us to get this morning. And so I want you to get that the truth is Jesus, okay? He is the truth. You don't believe me? What does Jesus say in another passage of scripture that you've heard a few times around the world? "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Jesus is the truth, okay? So we can take these scriptures and kind of start to build an understanding of here that Jesus isn't just talking about you not being completely truthful about where you spent your money last week, okay? To your spouse or whoever it is. You know, this is something much bigger than that. This is something much huger than that. This is Jesus, the truth. He is the truth, okay? It's kind of like wrestlers. You know how wrestlers, they get like these crazy names, you know? It's like The Rock. Well, The Rock's name is not The Rock. That's, you know, I don't know. That's a terrible example. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Jesus is the truth, okay? I know. Verse 31. It's just one of those days. I've got Misty going now, all right. Verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now, right there in that very first verse, you know, something that we see is that Jesus is speaking to these guys, and he says, and the author of this, John, you know, he is saying that he said to the Jews who had believed in him. So he is speaking specifically to a group of people who had believed in him. And so he's differentiating, you know, there's, you know, some folks around here that don't, and there's some folks that do. And he's saying to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. I think that this is really important. And I know that this is like a bell ringing that you've heard 1,000 times, or maybe you grew up hearing it in Sunday school all the time, this idea of abide in my word, you know, that I need to be in the word, and I know I need to be in the word, and I know I need to read my Bible and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you something this morning. I'm just telling you something this morning. And that's that for the majority of the struggles that we have in our lives, the majority of them would be so much easier for us to deal with if we would do what this is talking about right here. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Truly my disciples. So we see Jesus, you know, really driving home here to a group of people that already believe in him. You know, he's not going to a crowd and saying, hey, you know, all you guys, you know, most of you don't know who I am. I'm the Son of God, and I am God, and I'm Jesus, and I'm here to save you and all that stuff. You know, he's not doing that. He's gone to a group of people. It's like he's gone to the church, and he's saying, church, wake up. Do this. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And this is why in verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, it is just next to impossible for us to know somebody if we don't spend time with them. It is next to impossible for us to know Jesus if we don't spend time in God's word. I mean, that's how we get to know Jesus. I don't know if you know that or not. That's how we get to know Jesus. You know, I think we've got this whole like culture going of, you know, well, you know, church is just this thing that basically is gonna do it all for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm a part of a church. I want to be a part of a church that serves, okay? Do you serve? I want to be a part of a church that helps families adopt children, okay? That's us. We're definitely there. Are you a part of that? I want to be a part of a church that is a worshiping church that glorifies God, that is all about the name of Jesus and not their own fame. Are you there? Is your life about worshiping God? I want to be at a church that preaches the word, and I mean just drives it home, and we're just solid with our doctrine. Are you there? Are you studying God's word yourself? Are you spending time with Jesus that way? You see, we've turned church into this, I want my checklist met because I don't really want to do any of it. Let me just tell you what. That's appalling to God. That's not being the church. I got to see a great example of the church yesterday. And this is not something that you just get to see all the time. Even in my shoes where, you know, I'm trying to help people, you know, a lot in different ways. And you guys are too. We all are together. But yesterday I had just one of those moments where I recognized a need with someone and I knew somebody that could meet it. I'd had somebody here recently come to me and say, you know, we have an extra vehicle and we feel led, instead of us selling it, we feel led to give it to somebody that just really needs it. And we know that you're probably, you know, because I'm the preacher and, you know, all kinds of people come and say, I've got this or that going on. And honestly, this is a guy, I've been trying to get this guy to come to church for a long time. And in conversation yesterday, I'm talking to the guy, and it never all synced up. It never clicked. And I said, man, I'd still love for you to come join us at church sometime. And he's a good guy. And he said, you know, I really would like to, but I really don't have a way to get there. And I said, that's right. You don't have a car, do you? And he said, no. And I said, man, I'm sorry about that. And in that moment, it was like, you know, I don't know if I was living right in the moment or something, but, you know, God just spoke to my heart and just said, Chris, you stupid idiot. How long have you known that he hasn't had a car, and you know somebody that is willing to give a car to somebody that needs it? And I just happen to know that some of the stuff going on in the backstory of this guy's life here over the last year has just been ruthless on him. He's been through some nasty, terrible stuff. And he was already talking about how hard life has really been. And he was just opening up to me. He wasn't looking for anything. He wasn't looking for any help. And so a couple of phone calls later, you know, he's left. I make some phone calls, find out the car. We get the car ready to go. And, you know, they hunt down the title and all that stuff. And then he, you know, and I call him back. And I said, hey, bro, can you come back over to my house? I don't tell him why, so I knew he would think like something's wrong or something. And so he comes back over, and the owner of the car is there, and he comes in, and of course he's clueless, he doesn't know. And I said, man, I just want you to know there's hope in life. I want you to know that Jesus brings that hope. He brings it for me. And today you've got some people that love you and that love Jesus, and they want to bless you, and you get a car today. Here's your car. And I got to watch the owner of the car get to, you know, hand over the keys. You know, and took him out and walked around it and showed him all the, you know, crazy things that's going on with it because it's an older car and stuff, you know. And it was just awesome. That's the church. That's the church. Yeah. I mean, all for that. Because here's why. There's no glory in that. There was no glory in that. The owner didn't do that for him. They didn't do that for them. They did that God might be glorified through what? Through a thing. Something that will one day end up rusting away in a junkyard. I don't care what kind of car. I mean, eventually that's what they're all going to do, right? I don't care, you know, how great they are, classic they are, or whatever. But at the end of the day, we're not going to be here, and they're going to, you know, waste away and burn down. You know, I think for us to just kind of get a glimpse of, you know, what it looks like for us to be the church is an important piece of this. And when Jesus is talking about us abiding in him, and that the truth, that we will know the truth when we abide in his word, and the truth will set us free, that's what begins to happen in us. We begin to be set free when we remain, when we continue to believe and walk in obedience to Christ. That's true disciples. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. You know, and this whole, you know, the truth will set you free and all that stuff. I mean, this is one of those things that's taken out of context a lot. In fact, it was like a week ago I said this to somebody. And honestly, I was taking it out of context when they were asking me, well, what do you think I should do? I said, tell the truth. The truth shall set you free. Well, yeah, it will. But the truth that sets us free is not necessarily the opposite of our lie. It is Jesus. Jesus sets us free, okay? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And they answered him in verse 33, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And you know, and this sounds like so many people that I run into in life that basically say, I'm no slave to anything. I'm my own man, you know? I'm my own boss. I started my own business, you know, whatever. And the truth is that if we don't know Jesus, then we are slaves to sin. We are slaves to something. We need to be freed from that. And if we're not freed, I mean, we just live in the shackles of that. We struggle with this sin, on and on and on and on. We can't get rid of it. Well, guess what? The reason might be is because maybe you don't know Christ. Church attendance is not what it's about. This is about a relationship. This is about knowing him. And that passage says, and the truth will set you free. This is an understanding that Jesus wants to know us. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Well, man, that's great news, isn't it? Wow. It's kind of like Debbie Downer. But here's the deal. Verse 35 says this: "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That passage, we see how that we are slaves until when we know Christ. The son there in that story, we have a legitimate story that Jesus is telling there that is illustrative, especially to that day where slaves were something that were of a norm. And he's saying, you know, the slave won't stay in the house. The slave doesn't live in the house, but the son of the master lives in the house. The son lives there. He's there, and he'll always be there because that's his house. But the slave will leave. And Jesus is paralleling this understanding. He's not interested in talking about, you know, slavery necessarily. He's interested in talking about freedom from sin. And to these folks that he is speaking to on this day, and he's saying, look, you know, if you're a slave to sin, you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore, because if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Because the Son who lives in the house has the ability. He has the ability as a partaker of that home to invite us in, to free us, to make us free. And according to this passage, we are free indeed. Freedom doesn't lie in the ancestry of Abraham here. And that's what these people are arguing. I don't know if you realize that or not, but the guys that are arguing with Jesus here, these Jews are, you know, basically they're kind of giving the, hey, you know, wait, we're from the lineage of Abraham, okay? I don't know if you ever pull that card. You ever pull that card? Maybe you can't, or maybe you couldn't, because you know maybe your dad or your granddad wasn't, you know, anybody that you could pull that card with, because I don't know, maybe they were a scoundrel or something. Maybe you knew people that did this, you know, because like their dad was the judge, you know, and they could get away with anything, right? You know what I'm talking about? You like immediately you're thinking of people like, oh yeah, remember that guy? He never get a ticket. He never, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, I think when we think about that, when we understand that, you know, that's what these guys are doing. They're basically looking at Jesus and they're saying, "Hey, we're from Abraham's family, dude. We're cool over here, all right? You don't need to preach to us because we're not slaves to anything or anybody." And the truth is like right off the bat, that's a lie. Because they have been, that family, through the lineage of that family, you go back and you can find where they've been slaves to any number of kings and rulers. And, you know, think about them wandering around in Egypt for, you know, in the desert or whatever for like 40 years. I mean, it's just constant stuff going on for them. And Jesus is going, dude, wake up. I'm not talking about all that. You've completely missed the point, because it doesn't matter who your dad or who your great 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 grandfather was. You need to know the truth. The truth is the only thing that will set you free, and the only way to do it and the only way to know it is to abide in my word. When you do that, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. And what Jesus is saying right there is he's saying that my words find no place in you because you are spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. This is like the ground that's going on. Might as well be like, you know, us trying to go out here and just starting to plant a garden in a gravel parking lot or something. We just, you know, start digging some holes in a gravel parking lot and just start throwing down some plants. Well, that'd be a great garden, wouldn't it? That's exactly what he's talking about here. He's trying to help them to understand that, you know, you've got to be spiritually someplace with me. You've got to know me, for starters, for this to even resonate with you. And right now it finds no place in you. Verse 38 says this. It says, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. The truth is if Abraham were still alive and these guys were doing the things that they were doing and wanting to kill Jesus, the Son of God, Abraham would have been hitting them over the head with a skillet. And they're trying this whole, like, my daddy trumps your daddy deal. And Jesus is like, look, I'm the Son. I'm not a Son. I'm the Son. I am the Son that has the power to set you free. Because a slave doesn't get to live in the house. The slave doesn't stay in the house forever. The Son stays in the house forever. But the Son can invite in. And the Son can redeem. And the Son brings freedom from sin. And this morning, you know, and we've talked about this a little bit here lately, but I want to talk to you for just a second about where you are with your sin. I know it's like not the most popular thing to think about. I want you to think for just a second. Where are you with your sin? Does it feel like your sin is controlling you? I mean, we all have those moments where we feel that way. Because over even just a couple weeks ago when I taught, and I talked about how we are free from sin, and we're made slaves to righteousness and no longer slaves to sin. You remember all that? We talked about that. You know, for us to understand something is that if we know Jesus, we are not slaves to sin. Even that sin, that dark, deep sin that nobody else knows about that just keeps coming back to us, that we keep falling into, we're not a slave to it. Satan would love for us to think that we're a slave to it, but we're not a slave to it if we know Jesus. You say, Chris, how in the world can I overcome that sin? Well, first of all, you must know Jesus. You must know Jesus as your Savior. This is so key. And that has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with who your great-grandfather was. It has everything to do with whether or not you know the truth. If you know Jesus, do you know Jesus? And then if you know Jesus, if you're like me, and you keep falling back into things that you're like, I can't believe I did that again. And you just want to, it's like we see Paul saying, you know, I hate myself for the things that I do, or I hate the things that I do. Talking about his sin. And we have those things, and here's how we overcome them. We get full on the bread of life. We get full on the bread of life. I'm giving you something that most preachers, pastors never clearly communicate. And I'm sorry for that if you've never heard this until now in your life. But it is, if we will be full with the bread of life, we will no longer seek the things of this world to satisfy us. You say, Chris, that still sounds hard. It is. Why? Because of the time that we live in, because of everything that is pining for a piece of us, all of those things playing against us. But the truth is this, is that if we will fill on this right here, if we will abide in him, abide in his word, Jesus says we will be true disciples. And in that, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I'm just here to tell you that I have good days and I have bad days, just like anybody else in the room. And I'm trying to be who Jesus wants me to be. But some days I fail miserably because I'm an idiot sinner. But here's the thing. On the moments, on the days of my life, when I'm seeking God and I'm growing closer to him by abiding in his word and spending time with him, on those days, the sin in my life is so much less. When those things come at me that are tempting so many times when I'm at weak points and say, I'll just give into it, whatever. I'll say that, I'll do that, I'll whatever. On the days when I am closer to Jesus, when I'm spending time abiding with him, it is so much easier to say, nope, not going to do it today. I'm not going there. I don't need that in my life. And I think for so many of us, we're missing this and we're letting sin just run us over. I brought something with me today here. Hope you don't mind. We'll probably light something on fire here in a minute. This is my amp. When we first started the church, and I'm not trying to throw a pity party here. Yeah, look at me. When we first started the church, I had an electric guitar rig. And again, not throwing a pity party, just telling you a fact. I ended up selling it just because we needed to take a trip to see another church in another state. And I sold the guitars I had and the electric amp I had and all this stuff. Here a couple years ago, or a year ago or so, I had somebody, this is so crazy, I had somebody run through a building where I had some machines stored, like with their car. And I drove through a building, like not on purpose, by accident. I'm still not real sure what that was about. But anyway, they drove through this building, and they ran into a bunch of my stuff. And so I got an insurance claim for it. And so at that point in time, there was some ministry stuff we wanted to do. We did some of that. Gave some money to the Lord and then had some money left over. And I told Aaron, I said, I'd really like to get another guitar rig. She's like, well, go for it. So this is my rig. It was kind of funny because I started buying everything backwards. I think we bought some pedals first or something like that, which is weird. I didn't even own an electric guitar. We bought electric guitar pedals and I didn't have a guitar. And then we bought this cabinet, but I didn't have the head. And the thing, if you don't play guitar, then you don't know anything about a lot of this stuff. And I'm going to tell you a little bit, at least enough to be dangerous. Basically you have a cabinet, which is the speakers. This is just speakers. There's nothing in here but speakers and wire. Okay. And then you have this thing, and this is what's called the head. This is the actual amplifier. These things are what really, this is the bank. This is what, it's either good or bad or, all that kind of stuff. And so, I had been researching, all of my heavy metal heroes to figure out who was playing the kind of stuff that I would like to play, if I could actually ever play that good. I thought, I'm gonna get something really good because, I've got some money here. And so I went out and I found this head. Well, this thing's a beast. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I mean, this thing is an unbelievable guitar amp. It's taking me forever to figure anything out with it, to be real honest with you. It has four channels of different settings, so like I can set four different things, and then on top of the four channel thing, it's got so much stuff. I mean, you're seeing all this stuff right here, but on the back, and you're welcome. I'm not gonna. Whoa, that'd been bad. On the back, you can see I wear this a whole lot, right? On the back, there's as much of that stuff on the back as there is on the front. And every bit of it also, you know, dictates, you know, the sound that's coming out and settings on, you know, how you want this thing to operate. And it's, you know, three-way switchable, and it rolls like 50, 100, and 120 watt. And, you know, this is just like the metal-making machine here, okay? All right. And so I was so stoked about this thing. We got this thing one day and I brought it to the office, and Nathan and I were in the office working, and like, we're pulling it out of the box and we're both like, oh, you know, and so we set it on top of my little cabinet here, because my cabinet's not even a full size Marshall cabinet. So it's actually kind of sticking off the ends and makes it look even smaller. You know, we stick it on there and, you know, plug it up. And truth is, like, I was just plugging up. I mean, I'm like a guy, you know, it's like, let's just plug it in and we'll start just jacking around with it, and eventually we'll figure it out, right? You know, that's what we do. That's what guys do. If you didn't know, if you didn't know, I don't know where you've been, but this thing, I mean, this thing, that's nothing. You've seen, gosh, that thing won't stay on. But this thing is amazing. And so, you know, we start kind of messing with it and playing around with it. And, you know, I noticed here a couple times, like, it's not as loud as other times. Like, what's going on with it? And so finally, this week, I've owned it for almost a year, okay? Now, granted, I haven't played it that much, okay? Owned it almost a year. And this week on my day off, that morning, I woke up thinking about my amp and thought, you know, I'd like to figure out some stuff about it. I'd like to learn some stuff about it, you know, just even see, you know, how to use it properly, or, you know, maybe I'm missing something. And there's, turns out, like, there's stuff in here on the back that has to be plugged in a certain way. And if it's not, you know, it'll jack it up. So I go online and I go to the website of the company that made the amp, and I find the manual. And I start reading through this thing, and I'm reading things like this. Flip the AC main switch on to the on position and wait at least 30 seconds for the power tube filaments to warm up with the high volt switch in the down position. This cold start procedure prolongs tube life so long, so to try to follow it each time you power up the amplifier. I haven't been doing that. Basically what it's saying is, like, flip this switch on, wait 30 seconds, then flip the other switch on. You think they would make something that could do that on its own, right? You know? But no, that's not what they did. And so, you know, I've just been flipping the thing on and just, you know, like, oh yeah, let's go for it, you know, or whatever. You love this one. Yeah, see? And so, you know, the thing is like, I've been doing that kind of stuff. And so then I go even further into this thing. I go in further to the manual. And further in the manual, it says this: always keep the dummy shorting jack connected to the B speaker outputs. When you're not using two sets of cabinets for cab switching, because this thing will run more than one of these. It'll run like four of them, okay? And it'll do so like in crazy ways. So, you know, for cab switching, this will protect the output transformer from damage should signal accidentally be switched to the A, B, or B outputs via the speaker program switch. What that means is I have been running this thing wrong all along and probably damaging my wonderfully expensive amp that I could never buy again if I ever really wanted to. Yeah. Why? Why? Because I'm a guy, right? Yeah? I'm a guy. And because I'm a guy, all I just want to do is I just want to turn it on and just... Yeah, see, I sound great, don't I? You know, I think this is the thing. You know, for so many of us, we think we already know better than everybody else, don't we? I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, when it comes to us and our relationship with Jesus, you know, I mean, we'll go to church, but the truth is we're not really going to listen to the preacher if it really steps on our toes. I mean, sometimes we might, but there are these certain things in our life that we're kind of going, you know what, I don't, that doesn't really apply to me. That was written 2,000 years ago. I look at the manual to my Mesa Boogie head, that's what this thing is. I look at my manual to that thing, and when it tells me that I should have all the switches on the back turned up unless I'm running more than one of these things, otherwise it's going to blow this thing up, I'm going to do that. Because if I didn't, I would be an idiot, okay? And I think for us just to even get the glimpse of an understanding that we're recreating this over and over with our lives when we look at the truth of God's word and we say, well, you know, I know that God's word says that, but I don't really believe it. We've got to believe it. It's his word. We're not exceptions to the rule. If God's convicting our heart, if he's showing us something through his word about something we need to change about who we are, we've got to pay attention to that. We've got to fill up on the gospel. Then we will be able to turn away from sin. I think for so many of us, we just get in this mode of, you know, being like a guy, you know, I'll just figure it out on my own. And so our Christian walk becomes based on us going to church and hanging out with other Christians, and whatever I learn from them, that's going to be good enough for me and Jesus. And I'll be honest with you. I've watched bands play that exact equipment so many times, and I'm nowhere near as good as they are. I still don't know my way around that thing. I mean, not even close. But the truth is until I read through that thing and until I really get to investigate and get to play around with it, you know, that's when it's going to start to happen. Us and God's word is no different in the sense that we have got to abide with Jesus in the truth. And he is the truth. And how we do that is through his word. And this idea that I can just figure it out on my own, or maybe even worse is, you know, I know what the Bible says, and I know, you know, but it doesn't really apply to me. You know, it might as well be us saying, well, I know what God wants for me, but I don't really care. And so we have this little sin in our life, or maybe it's a, you know, big, little, whatever. There's no really difference. Sin is sin. You know, if we have this sin in our life that we just kind of keep, you know, petting it and taking care of it and going, you're okay back here. I know that God's word says I'm not supposed to do this or have you, or but you're okay because you're safe, because we're cool, because I'm keeping you around, you know. I mean, we're just telling God we don't care. We're not just telling him we don't care. We're showing him we don't care. And then we wonder. Then we're like, you know, well, God, I really want you to speak to me today. Really? Really? We really want God to just speak to us when we're just straight up disobedient to him? And expect him to just like give us some grand, like, this is the new thing I want for you to do, Jimmy. Who do we think we are? That we think that we know better than he does for our lives? We don't know better for our lives. We don't know better for our jobs. We don't know better for our money. We don't know better for our marriage. We don't know better for our dating lives. We want to be the exception to the rule, but the truth is that we're just living in sin. And this idea of I don't need anybody to tell me what to do is really just like a 4-year-old little kid saying, I know better than you do. And the truth is that we know down in our heart we don't. We need Jesus. We need him. And the truth is Jesus. It's knowing him. And it's not just about him. It is him. And so this morning, I have to ask the question, do you know Jesus? And I know that if you come here regularly, you've heard me ask that question a lot of times. But just because you've heard the question a bunch of times doesn't mean that you know him. Do you feel conviction over your sin? Are you convicted at all? Do you feel bad? I mean, you feel like God's working your heart over going, you really shouldn't be doing this. this is really not pleasing to me. And there's a reason, there are always reasons for that. It's not because, you know, when Mesa Boogie wrote the manual for this thing, they didn't write it because they were like, oh, we're gonna really stick it to everybody that buys one of our amps. You know, we're gonna get them good. They're gonna have to follow our instructions. That's the dumbest thing ever. When they wrote this, they're trying to keep me from blowing that thing up. I need that. And when God wrote that, he's trying to keep me from blowing this thing up. We got to see that. We got to see that this is freedom. This is the difference between being slaves to sin and freedom in Jesus. And it's hard, yeah. Totally hard. Days when it's just like, man, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through this without falling back into that sin. And I mentally put this to the test yesterday. I had a moment yesterday. I'm not going to tell you what it is or anything, but I had a moment yesterday when I was thinking about something that I'd really like to do, but it would have been sinful. I thought, man, I'd like to do that. And I'd been studying through this, so it was fresh on my heart, fresh on my mind, and I just got to thinking. Man, I know that what I'm doing is I'm making that thing a god in my life. And what I've got to do is I need to consume the gospel right now. And I just started praying. And in the midst of that moment, that sinful thought moment, I started praying and I just started saying, thank you for Jesus and thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiving me of what I'm even thinking about doing. God, I don't want to trample on you. I love you. I care for you. The last thing I want to do is disobey you. I tell you what, after you do that, if you're there with your heart and it's real and it's not just some going through the motions thing, it's real hard to turn around and go, oh, yeah, I'll jump into that sin now. That sounds really good. That sounds like blowing up my amp is what it sounds like. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be slaves to sin. We want to be slaves to righteousness. We want to be slaves to Jesus. And the truth is being a slave to Jesus is being free, free indeed. And only the Son can invite us into the house. You get that? And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the truth personally, I want you to know something. He's done everything that needs to be done to invite you into the house, and it doesn't matter how dirty your feet are, and it doesn't matter how dirty your heart is, and it doesn't matter how dirty your mind is or your clothes are or where you came from or all the sins that you've committed in the past, because at the end of the day, the cross forgave them all. That's it. The blood of Jesus was enough on that cross to pay the ransom for our sins. Praise God for that. This morning, you may need that. You may need that forgiveness. Maybe you've never had it. Maybe you've been to church forever and you've still never had it because you've just been going through the motions and you just didn't know, and maybe it's just starting to click or something. I just want you to know that at the end of our service, myself, some other folks will be hanging out down here in the front. We'd love just to get to talk to you for a few minutes. We'd love just to get to share who Jesus is. We'd love for you to know the truth. Let's pray together. God, this morning we come as some that don't know you. God, and then we come as some that have known you, some of us for a long time. But God, either way, God, this morning, God, we want to abide in you. We want to know you. We want to know the truth. And the truth is that you have freed us from our sin. And we are no longer slaves to it. And we don't have to even think about being slaves to that anymore. God, because we're not. God, I pray this morning, God, for all of us this morning, that we would just follow you. God, I lift up to you right now anyone here that doesn't know you. God, I pray, Lord, that they could come to know you today. God, that today could be the day that they could know the truth. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have, God, to know you. Thank you for paying the ransom. God, may we not squander our lives away. May we realize and recognize the freedom that comes in you and obedience to you, because, God, you don't want us to blow this thing up. God, you want us to live it to the fullest for your glory. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would do that. God, may we be challenged by your word. Continue to speak to hearts. As we worship you, may you be glorified.